a bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there, I know you're down there, I know you're down there.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we've got studios all over the place today. We've got the Grizz, Mike Ritz, calling in from La Paz, Baja California, sir. And we also have the pleasure of Nick Clark, who represents Latin America for Eagle Hooks. So we'd like to talk to him mostly about hooks.
Eagle Claw Hooks, John.
What did I say?
Eagle Hooks.
Oh, yeah.
Eagle Hooks is a different thing that's kind of scary. But Eagle Claw Hooks are the finest hooks in the world and the only hook manufactured in the United States. Huh, Nick?
Thank you, Mike. Yep, you're exactly right.
Okay, well, I'll just sit here and shut up then.
John. It's good to be back on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll just shut up and listen to you guys then if I can't say anything
you
right.
You know, Nick, a lot of people, including John, have been wondering, what is the different size of hooks? What is a 12-aught? Why is it called aught?
Can you help him out on that
and help our listeners to understand why they say 12-aught or a 12 or a 8? Why that aught is on there?
Yeah, it all goes back to wire gauge, and there's a couple different standards for measuring wire gauge, a British standard and an American standard. And I don't know 100%, but I'm at the understanding that the British standard of measuring wire gauge did get into what are called aught sizes, which probably has to do with why shotguns are, for example, a 30-06 rifle barrels and that type of thing are measured that way as well.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. The different sizes of rifle and shotguns and that type of thing. And it goes back
like a 10-gauge, 12-gauge, 14-gauge.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It goes back to a standard of a wire gauge of how wire is measured, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been told. Different hook companies have different ways of measuring, different numbering systems, I should say. For example, some of our competitors will have a hook series that it's identical to our hook series, but they'll call it a size 1 to a 20, with a 20 being the smallest and a 1 being the biggest. You know, our particular way we do most of our hooks, we have a base, what we call base sizes, which is like size 1, 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Oh, Bob, we've been trying to touch with you. We're running about 25 minutes late.
They get smaller as the numbers get bigger, but then on the other side we have a 1-aught, 2-aught, 3-aught, 4-aught, etc. They get larger as the aught sizes get larger. It's confusing. It's definitely not standard across all hook manufacturers, and at this point in time it's pretty convoluted, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really think that there's, you can say a 7-aught fish hook and you can somehow measure that against something that's really not possible.
Well, Grizz, if you don't mind, let me ask Nick a couple of questions.
All right, just a couple, John.
Okay, when we're looking at a hook, there's different things that we're measuring. The thickness or the gauge of the shank, and then the distance between the point and the shank, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's isn't it measured usually the larger the hook, the larger the distance between the point and the shank?
Yeah, there are. The basic measurements are the distance between the point and the inside of the shank, the curve, of course, and then the distance from the bottom of the curve to the top of the eye. So those are sort of your two primary measurements.
Great. And then, of course, when you got a circle hook that comes back in on itself, the distance is real small, but the hook has to be really big to make up for that, so it kind of throws you off there.
Yeah, it would throw you off because your gap size is what it's called on circle hooks is a lot smaller than standard hooks given the size.
And I will throw something in, and I should keep my mouth shut, but the know-it-all that I am. Actually, a 30-06 was a 30 gauge invented in 1906.
Oh, was it?
Exactly.
But Grizz, okay, I was all right. I knew Grizz would know that.
Yeah, by Winchester.
Okay, but anyway,
I don't know. Don't know anything about guns, but I have been told that the size of the barrel,
absolutely right. The size of the barrel is like a 30 caliber, a 20 caliber, and that is actually measured by the size. You're absolutely right, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
It's measured by the hole of it. you know, or the bore of the gun. That's how it works. But anyway, let's not get into hunting because I could spend all day on that. I just love it. Nick, one thing that really interests me and, you know, what's happening in the United States, the companies are moving their production on hooks to the famous China. And you guys are keeping your production in the United States, creating jobs for the people. And you're right in Denver, Colorado, aren't you?
Yes, we've been in Denver, Colorado since the early 1900s. We're somewhere around 90 years old. And we've been making fish hooks here the entire time and have no plans to change that. We make literally hundreds of millions of fish hooks a year right here in Denver, Colorado.
Wow. Well, just a curiosity, Nick, in 90 years, you know, I know some things have changed. I mean, the steel itself maybe has not changed that much, but I'm sure the alloy, and more importantly, the ability to sharpen those hooks. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, there have been some changes, you know, throughout the years. Traditionally, hooks have always been, they start from a roll of wire of different gauges, of course, and they're fed into a machine that goes through, let's say, 6 to 8 different processes from cutting it, you know, cutting the length of the hook, bending the curve, stamping the barb, grinding the point, etc. And as the technology has improved, we actually have machines now that start as a blank, a straight blank, you know, and then the point is ground, and we have a new point out today called the trocar point, which I'm sure some of your listeners here are probably familiar with. It's like a surgically ground tri-point that's done on a machine, and then these flat blanks basically are fed into another machine that goes through that system of processes.
Well, so it's kind of more like an arrowhead than just a pin?
Yeah, exactly. It would start more like an arrowhead, you know, and then it's formed rather than a roll of wire that's being fed into a machine. So,
and it's incredible too. You want to keep your fingers away from the points.
There's basically two types of points. There's what you call a needle point, and then traditional or older hooks all have what are called cut points or knife edge points, and they're basically ground like a knife edge on both sides until they're sharp. And then a needle point is, you know, a completely round point that's ground down and as a needle, basically. Mm-hmm. So.
And your company makes all of these in all different shapes and sizes, right?
Yeah, we make from little miniature trout hooks to gigantic shark hooks and tuna hooks and you know, commercial hooks that are used on boats all over the world.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, Nick, unfortunately, we're about out of time. I guess Grizz and I took up more than we should have.
That's okay.
But if you want to make a quick comment, I'm sure that Eagle Claw are available at all of your local stores, but is there a real quick website you can give us in 10 seconds?
Yeah, you can always go to www.eagleclaw.com, and from there you can look at all of our different brands, whether it be Laser Sharp, Trocar, Wright & McGill.
Perfect.
You can reach it all from
we
there.
Appreciate that, Nick. Grizz, you stick around, and we'll talk to you guys later.
See
you're
later,
listening
Nick.
To Fish Talk Radio.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that drives the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
Bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. Bad day of fishing just better than a good day at work.
Okay, welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, in with us. Maybe not sitting next to me, but almost. We have, of course, our co-host Mike Ritz, the Grizz, from Adventures South of the Border website, ASOB Online. And we have one of the premier outdoor writers in California, and the new vice president of the Outdoor Writers Association of California and the most prized author of Western Outdoor News. Bob?
Hey there. How are you?
Well, we're doing just fantastic. And, you know, this is such a fun time of the year to do the show. We don't have to kind of scratch around and, try and find something of interest.
Isn't it fantastic? I mean, the fishing is coming on strong all across the West, and we're having a great time. I got to tell you, offshore, we're seeing some great white sea bass bites, and the rockfish are coming in. And as of coming up pretty quick, there's going to be 3 white sea bass per angler allowed, as opposed to the one that is typical for
most
of the
year. They do kind of do that. And it looks like in California, and I don't know about too much about north, but from we were talking to Channel Islands, which is almost, it's in the bottom half, but it's up, but they're doing really well. We talked to Cisco's, and then all the way down, and I heard about, some San Diego and even some other places. So it's been a really good year so far.
Well, Grizz will tell you that the thing we look forward to is the El Nino. And as this comes on, which we look forward to a very strong El Nino condition this year, which is the warm water pushing up out of the south. And along with it, it pushes all of the pelagic fish up into our area. Right now, we're seeing bluefin tuna 150 miles below the Mexican border. And that's really early in the season to be seeing them that high up.
Well, you know, I have a question with Grizz and with you, Bob, about yellowfin and bluefin. Now, we've fished a lot in Mexico, and I don't see too many bluefin down there. But Grizz, you might disagree with me.
I've never caught one down here, John, to be honest with you.
But they do. I don't know. Maybe they like colder water than the yellowfin.
They are a little bit colder water, and also what they do is they stand offshore a bit more. And in fact, down around Ensenada way, they have the tuna pens, which are full of bluefin tuna exclusively.
Oh.
They send boats offshore, which purse seine them up, and then drag those nets full of fish slowly into pens inside of the bays around Ensenada. And then they cart those off to Japan via aircraft.
Whoa. Well, we know that bluefin is, pound-wise, is one of the most expensive fish there is. And I remember seeing a story about somebody that caught a big one and sold it to Japan, and it was like $10,000 or something ridiculous like that. It was a huge one.
Yeah. Our fish are usually not of that magnitude. You know, we're fishing for fish that are in the 50 to 100-pound range. Typically off in those areas. But, you know, you go down further and you're getting the big 300 to 400-pound yellowfin is what you're going to see down there.
Yeah. Now, a little bit, and Grizz can help out with this a little bit, what you're talking about, Bob, is warmer water coming out from the south. So instead of seeing water that's, let's say, in the low to mid-60s, it might be getting up into the low 70s. And for us, that's pretty warm. But, cold water for Grizz is anything under 80 degrees.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's down on the Pacific side of Cabo and everything like that, it's not very warm. It's only 72, 74. It's not really warm. What I'd like to see is 81.
Mm-hmm. In the Pacific. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anywhere. Okay. 81 for me is the perfect for all of the billfish and for the tuna.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's in the Sea of Cortez, how warm is it now?
83.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, if we're looking at right now, for instance, last week I was offshore at the Channel Islands. The water temps ranged from 61 to 65, and 65 being the warmest we've seen all year.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we're going to start to see is the water temps warm up. Anything above 65 and then up to 70 is remarkable.
Well, again, we were talking a little bit about the El Nino, which, from what you're saying, there's a strong likelihood that it's going to continue to push the water up and it'll, bring some of the warmer fish with it. But, I don't know if there's a lot of understanding or misunderstanding. Normally, an El Nino covers a very wide territory and it creates its own weather pattern. Is that right?
Absolutely. And in fact, it's part of a larger system that ranges across the entire Pacific Ocean and works both sides of the Pacific Ocean all the way over to Japan as well. A lot of the inverse condition that they see is why we predict that we're going to have that condition here. So as that weather pattern shows up in Japan, we can anticipate that it'll have an inverse reaction over on our coast.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Why is it called El Nino? Who came up with that name?
Because La Nina was taken.
Huh?
Because La Nina was taken. Now, seriously, La Nina is the opposite condition. It's when the colder water pushes through, and for some reason, it was called La Nina a long time ago. And then about 15 or 18 years ago, we started getting these warmer weather patterns that came in, and now they called it El Nino.
Well, Bob,
guess it was just a counteraction to the La Nina. Well,
the opposite, male and female.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, the women are cold. But
stop. Only you, John.
Oh, John, they are not, just because you have bad luck.
Okay.
Exactly my point, Chris.
All of us don't have those problems.
Well, you got a good one, Grizz, and Bob, I'll tell you that for sure. But does the name have something to do with where it originates, Bob, or is there a place that they normally do originate?
Well, actually, they do always come up out of the south, either one of them. And that's because all of our weather generally in the ocean comes up out of the south.
But you're talking north of the equator, Bob?
Yes, exactly. It comes off, you know, the circle of the currents is such that it counters. Oh, yeah. It comes from Japan towards Mexico along the edge of the equator and then turns left and comes up the west coast of the United States and then cycles back over to Japan. That's the way the currents run. And that has to do with the cyclical nature of our the way the planet rotates. So all of that causes the water to go around in that circle, and depending upon what's happening atmospherically, it causes the water temperature to change.
Wow. I didn't know you were so erudite, Bob. That's pretty impressive.
I can go further, but it really gets kind of redundant.
Well, you know, what we're looking at and what we're most interested in is some really good fishing. And as we have talked about many times, everything goes in cycles, you know, and we're not going to get involved in warming and cooling of the climate, which actually is a cycle that, you know, that lasts for just long periods of times. But we also have cycles that maybe 10 years or 20 years or 7 years, or, you know, the pink salmon in Alaska, for some strange reason, it's every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got all these different cycles kind of working concurrently, which it makes it a little bit difficult. But it's been a long time since we've seen the kind of fishing along the California coast that we've experienced and we're looking forward to.
And along that line, what's been missing in the equation for the last several years is the albacore.
Mm-hmm.
We've had very, very little albacore fishing in the last 3 to 5 years, whereas prior to that, it was the major fish.
Mm-hmm.
Last 2 years, it's been yellowfin with a little bit of the bluefin, and this year it looks like the bluefin are going to be the major category.
That'd be awesome. Now, the albacore, it's not that they've disappeared. It's they stay farther outside and they go to different areas?
These fish are all what are called pelagics, which means they roam the seas freely. They don't really have migratory patterns, but they're really roughly defined. And so you can't really say that they're going to be here at this time, and therefore we don't know where they are.
They just took their toys and went somewhere else to play.
Exactly, exactly. Probably the smartest thing they could have done.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, this year hasn't been very good right now in Cabo, in that area. It's just the boats went out yesterday and only 2 boats came in with fish.
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So it's really bad in Cabo right now. I hope that changes in a couple of days. But I went out 3 days ago and fished and did not even get a strike in La Paz.
Mm.
Well, Grizz.
But you go down to East Cape and they're just incredible. There's sails, marlin, tuna, everything. So it's just really incredible this year.
Well, we're going to be talking to Eddie at Vam Warmer Resorts in East Cape at Los Briles at the Palmas de Cortez. So I'm sure he's going to have some exciting things to tell us.
Well, I'm sure he will, because there's good fishing there right now.
Well, and Bob, we were also going to talk about rockfish, but I think we're down to about our last minute or so.
Well, let me just throw in real quick. You know, of course, that out of Cisco's, they had limits on rockfish yesterday on the Mirage, and they also got limits on the white sea bass, which tells you that these boats are hitting it hard. They're getting done early in the day, and that's happening all up and down the coast right now. It's just the most amazing season for rockfish and white sea bass, which is just a target to fill sacks and bring home, fill the freezer.
Well, all of those listening to us all over the United States and beyond, we would certainly encourage you to get in touch with us if you want to go fishing in California, either north or south, and in particular in Baja. And make sure that you tune in to Western Outdoor News and see if you can catch Bob in one of his columns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Bob, we appreciate that. Grizz, why don't you stay on the line for a while and help us out with that.
Bye, guys.
Bob, thanks again. Okay, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes, so don't go too far. Grizz, you stay right where you're at. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming, laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolfish, bullhead, halibut, hake, permit, cobia, pickerel, skate.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we got studios all over the place. In Baja California Sur, the capital city, the city of peace of La Paz, we have the Grizz, Mike Ritz from Adventures South of the Border, and right across the peninsula from, well, I guess it's not across, it's just right down the peninsula.
Exactly.
Is where the Los Briles, known as the East Cape area, and the crown jewel of that is the Palmas de Cortez, and it right now sounds like it's right in the middle of the action. Eddie, tell us what's happening right now and where you are.
Guys, I'm sitting here at the dock here at Palmas de Cortez watching the boats come in on another great day of fishing. All the boats are coming in with tons of flags. The billfish fishing right now is off the charts. They're in so thick. Every boat's coming in with at least 7-8 flags. Billfish, there's a combination of striped marlin and sailfish. A lot of the captains are telling me that they're getting shots of at least up to 20 billfish. With not all of them being, you know, hooked and coming in, but they're getting shots of at least 20. We're seeing at least 1 to 3 wahoos come in for the last 5 days. So the wahoo are definitely in right now. It's a great shot. I've never seen so many shots at wahoo in one stretch of time. Usually when we see a wahoo come in, you know, we see one a week, and then, you know, it'll be an incidental catch. Lately, it's been 1-3 every day here at the dock. And we got our first tuna this past weekend. It was a little 9-pounder, wasn't too big, but that means, hey, we're just around the corner from busting loose on tuna as well. Every Dorado that touches the dock that I've seen touch the dock today has been in the 30 to 40 pound class. So we're getting some really nice Dorado in all of a sudden, which was not the case 2 weeks ago when we barely saw any Dorado. Now we're seeing some nice big ones coming in. So the fishing right now couldn't be any better. Every client has got a big smile on their face, and they're happy to be down here.
Man, that sounds great. And that's all I've been hearing about. Everybody's talking about this picture today about a little boy that caught a 60-pound rooster off your dock.
Right off the dock yesterday. He was sitting there fishing.
Yeah, I got the picture. They sent it
today
so many.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry to talk over you. Today they caught another one that was 40 pounds right from the dock. So there's, and then we got the roosterfish. The International Roosterfish Tournament is over at Playa del Sol right now, and they're in their second day of fishing, and they're having some great roosterfish fishing right now. So, I mean, right here at the dock, you don't even have to go anywhere. You're getting world-class roosterfish.
Okay, a couple of quick questions, because, first of all, where you guys are located on that beautiful, beautiful sandy beach, and you've got this... Well, I'm not sure what I call it. You call it a dock, but it is a dock, I guess. It just rolls around on wheels. But
but
I know that, you know, you see kids out there fishing actually from the dock itself. So are you talking about close to the dock or actually on the dock?
Right on the dock.
Wow.
On the dock. They're coming in right after the boats or before the boats come in, and there are some kids, you know, that help the clients with their luggage and their rods and reels and take them back to their room, and they're having a blast just casting off the dock, and they're catching, you know, 40. Today was a 40-pounder. Yesterday was a 60-pounder right off the dock.
Whoa. Well, you better not tell many people about that. Your boat sales might drop off.
Right? No. It's incredible. Right now, you know, I've heard a lot of clients who have been coming down year after year for, you know, 20, 30 years that have told me that they haven't seen fishing like this in at least 10 years. You know, the billfish have really come back strong, and, you know, it has a lot to say to our concerted effort. And, you know, everybody in La Paz, Grizz, you know that we've all been trying to drive home to everybody here who comes down, catch and release
exactly.
On all billfish, you know, and this is the result of it, you know. We're starting to see some really good numbers year after year, starting to get better. This year is off the charts. I mean, they're really, really in thick. I mean, everybody's just saying, wow, I've never seen so many billfish. We're not, you know, we may not land 20, but we're seeing 20, you know, and we've never seen that before down here. So it's really, really starting to come back. We're seeing a lot of good fishing every day now. Since about the second week of May, it's been like this. So it's not like one day on, one day off. It's been good since about the second week of May now. So we're real happy. We hope everybody can come down and experience this, because it is one of those occasions where if you come down right now, you're going to hit it when it's good.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, a couple of quick things. There's something else that's coming back, and that's people. You know, after that stretch we went through for a couple of years.
We're here in 5 years.
Yeah.
We're up 30%, so right. we're real happy about that as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was a kind of a time there when it was tough to get people to get on an airplane and spend the money. But, of course, speaking of spending money, you know, the East Cape has got to be, and if you take into account the type of fishing that's available for what you spend, there's nothing anywhere in the world, I mean, in the world that would come close to that as far as what you get at what price.
No, absolutely not. You know, you could take 3 trips here to the East Cape for the price that you would take 1 trip somewhere else in the world, honestly. You know, I mean, like, we were running a special now for Labor Day weekend. If anybody wants to get in on that, give me a call. And you can do a 4-person package, 2 people per room, 4 on a cruiser. So that means you get your own room, 2 people in each room, and then you all 4 will fish on 1 cruiser, 5 days, 4 nights with 3 days fishing. You're looking at about $570 per person. I mean, that's just a smoking deal. For 3 days fishing, 5 days, 4 nights accommodations.
Oh, wow.
That's cheap. Even you can afford that, John.
Yeah. Well, wow. No,
yeah.
That is incredible.
So if anybody wants to get in on that, give me a ring, and we'll definitely hook you up. We got some space on Labor Day weekend. It's a great time. You don't have to take that many days off of work because you're going to be on a long weekend. Come down here. And it's one of the prime time fishing times. August and September, everything's in. Blue marlin, striped marlin, sails, Dorado, tuna, wahoo, roosters. It's all here.
And then you've got also what's coming up is the Dorado Shootout.
Absolutely. July 20th, we're having our biggest tournament of the year. We always get about 100 to 130 teams participate in that. It's a $400 entry fee, and the biggest Dorado caught that day is going to walk home, well, drive home,
a brand new
4x4.
Truck.
Yeah, Toyota Tacoma.
I'm fishing
4x4.
It this year, Eddie.
All right, Grant.
We'll
make sure it's all waxed and
home.
There you go.
We'll
okay.
Clean it for you. It'll be washed, waxed for you.
There you go.
All right, I'm taking that home. Count on it.
Yeah, and
anybody who wants to get information on that, DoradoShootout.com. That's where to go.
Well, Eddie, after what you just said, either we don't have anybody listening out there, or you're going to start getting a lot of phone calls. That is phenomenal. That was $575, 3 days, 4 nights. And that includes a lot in some of the best fishing anywhere in the world. So jump on that. And then also, we didn't even talk about, you talked about fishing from the dock. You don't even need a boat down there. Well, you do, but if you want to take a day off and stay on the beach, there's some great surf fishing. Eddie,
spend a couple of days out on the water, and then one day they'll just fish from the beach and from the dock, and they have a blast. No,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that very famous phone number that Chucky likes to give us is
877-777-TUNA.
There you go. Good job, Eddie. Hey, you're really good at this. Well, I'll let you get back to the dock and count those fish. I'll talk to you real soon. Okay.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Well, that was very exciting, Grizz. Let's see if we can get a little bit more information on some of the fresher water. We're going to go to one of my favorite places, which is Lake Nacimiento, which is not too far from here. Great fishing and great fun in the sun. And I believe that we have Carolyn on the line. Carolyn, are you there with us?
I am.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Hi, Carolyn.
And,
hello.
You know, we were just talking about the great fishing in Baja. Phenomenal, phenomenal. Well, you can have a lot of fun without going all the way down there, too, if you want to be cruising around this summer and maybe with the family and you want to cruise by to Lake. Well, you know what? We ought to give a prize away to the first person that spells that correctly. But maybe we will, but not today. I'll tell you what, Grizz, anybody that that can call in, because we're not taking phone calls, and give us the correct spelling, Grizz will take them fishing.
Okay, but perfect.
But Grizz, Nacimiento.
Why are you getting me in this stuff, John?
One of these days we're going to get you in. Caroline, give us a quick idea of what's happening now and this summer in Nacimiento.
We have a lot going out here. The weather's warm. Lake temperatures are perfect right now. They're about 72 degrees. Plenty of fun to have recreation out here. Fishing is just starting to pick up, and so is our summer season. So we're super excited.
Well, it's a big lake, and it's really a multi-purpose lake because,
exactly.
You know, if you're out in the middle of the lake, you want to be careful because you got these water skiers zooming by and, you know, with a watercraft, and then closer in some of the coves where the fishing is, you can find whatever you're looking for.
Exactly. We have fishing, swimming, wakeboarding, everything you want to do on a lake to have fun, it's out here.
Okay. Well, do you want to run down real quick some of the varieties that you can find in that lake? Because I know that the white bass, they are prolific, and, you know, they want you to take those. But
right.
Over
at Nacimiento, we have white bass, spotted bass, smallmouth, and largemouth,
mm-hmm.
as well as crappie, bluegill, and catfish. Over at San Antonio, we're known for our striped bass.
Mm-hmm.
Great fishing. They're just starting to boil right now, as well as we have the large and smallmouth also.
And you know what's really cool is that you can go up there in your station wagon, your SUV, or even your little economy car, drive up, and you've got everything there. They don't need to tow anything with them. They've got to come. You've got some, you know, possibility of some accommodations and camping and boats available. And,
yeah, we have lodging also at both Lake Nacimiento and San Antonio on both sides of San Antonio, so we can accommodate just about everybody, mm-hmm. glampers or regular campers.
Right. Well, before we get too far into it, let's go ahead and get some quick information. I know you're part of the Cal Park system, but you're a little bit separate so that from that. You can go to Fish Talk Radio website and find it, but why don't you give it to us real quick?
Lake Nacimiento's website is NacimientoResort.com. And Lake San Antonio's is LakeSanAntonioResort.com.
All you got to do is figure out how to spell Lake Nacimiento. Carolyn, you did a great job. Thank you very much. That was awesome.
Have a good day, guys.
And we're
going
to have to come back up and see it.
Come out and fish with us.
I'm trying to get Grizz up here, so we'll do that pretty quick.
You don't have big sailfish.
Well, we can find something for you. Thank you, Carolyn.
No, I'd like to do that, John.
Right. I know. But don't you get tired of dragging those billfish in all the time?
No.
Well, we're going to let you go, Grizz. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to asobonline.com and tune in and listen to Fish Talk.